On a beautiful Arizona Saturday morning. Good morning. You're tuned into Rosie on the House, your Saturday morning tradition for 29 years. And as part of the ongoing effort of Rosie on the House, we try and be a part of all things Arizona. And today that brings us to Esteban Park in South Phoenix. We are right between South Mountain and Camelback Mountain, just a little south of the airport. Occasionally hear one of the big 747s coming in for a landing. We're here for the Arizona Community Tree Council's annual tree climbing championship. About 20 contestants and arborists from around the state have gathered to test their skills in 7 different events. They are judged by fellow arborists who are also all previous competitors of the tree climbing program. And the winner actually goes to the National Tree Climbing Contest that then advances to the World Tree Climbing Contest. Did you know there was a World Champion Tree Climbing Contest?
I had no idea. These eucalyptus, they got to be, 70 feet tall out here?
Oh, yes. Yeah. Easy. Very easily. We're joined, generally, when we're on these broadcasts, we have our monthly arborist, John Eisenhower, Integrity Tree Service, but he's busy coaching the event today, so it was the perfect timing to bring in a new segment we've been working on. This has probably been about 10 years in the making.
Wow,
we're
really?
Joined by Greg Peterson of the Urban Farm. It was 10 years ago, I think, you came into our studio and recorded the first segment on recycling.
Yeah,
and
oh my
since
gosh,
then, we just keep talking about how, what, where, what.
How to grow your own food, baby.
We've got Greg Peterson. He'll be joining us the fourth Saturday of every month on the Urban Farm. And
looking
through the lineups, I mean, you've got things from chicken care.
Yep.
You've had
rainwater harvesting, yeah.
And today we're starting off with citrus.
Citrus, yeah.
Which is funny because we haven't had a frost really this year to worry about our citrus.
Right.
But the last 2 days...
Yeah, I know. Isn't that amazing? And it's almost March.
I get in my truck and I turn on, it's like 30. I'm like, oh, should I have covered my lemon last night?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Well, the good news is you don't actually have to cover the mature trees with with as cold as it gets here. If you just really want to plant cover your new trees if you're planting new trees.
Now, mine are about 5 years old. Is that new? They're about this tall?
Oh, no.
Those are mature?
You're plenty good.
Okay. So at what point do we need to not worry about?
No, once they're established, really, once you plant a citrus tree, and I always encourage people to plant your citrus trees after the last frost, so I'm glad we waited, right? So once they're established, and usually after year two, you don't have to worry about covering them.
Okay. Oh, don't tell my wife that.
Okay, good.
Because year 3 and 4 were cold, and she would usually be doing the covering because by the time I got home, it was already, in the wintertime, it's dark by 5.
Right, exactly, 5:30, exactly. So here's the thing. It doesn't hurt to cover them.
Oh, okay.
Because they can't, the tips can freeze, and if they freeze, you're going to get a little bit of freeze back. So doesn't hurt to cover it.
Doesn't hurt to cover it. Now, what are your best practices of covering? Because I've seen a lot of different things when you drive around. You see people that throw bed sheets out. You see people that tie the cover around the trunk of the tree. What is there a right or wrong way to cover a citrus tree?
No. Never been asked that before.
Just get a cover on
just
top.
Just get it covered. When you use plastic, plastic has a tendency to get real cold and it can transfer into the, into the tree. So I recommend that people don't use plastic to cover with, but bed sheets, frost cloth, like that.
And if you use plastic, by the time the day and the sun comes out, you could burn underneath it because it's going to do the opposite.
Could be, yeah.
So no plastics. Now, you had talked about other ways to
kill your fruit
citrus.
Trees.
And as we get into that topic, we are a call-in radio broadcast. So if you've got a question or like to talk to the urban farmer, Mr. Greg Peterson, it's very simple. 1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888 Rosie for you. No matter where in the great state of Arizona, you are tuned in this morning. Killing your
nice.
Citrus. Why would I want to do that?
Well, and I actually put this in the category of killing your fruit trees.
Okay.
And there are 3 surefire ways to kill your fruit trees. And there's some tree planters out there that might not necessarily agree with me, but here we go. Way number 1, plant them in gravel. In fact, I'm videotaping over the next course of the next 3 months four citrus trees that were planted in a gravel yard, and I'm gonna. They're already declining, because basically when you put them in gravel, you're putting them in a solar oven. So if you plant them in gravel, I have a solution for you. We'll talk about that next segment.
Okay.
Okay. Way number two to kill your fruit tree is plant them in lawn.
Really?
Yeah, because the grass, especially Bermuda grass, can out-compete your tree. And it'll stunt your tree and eventually take it out. I've seen it happen over and over and over again.
Now, is this for a new one? 'Cause I'm picturing a couple areas I can think of where there's very established orange trees.
Yep.
In a lawn.
In
a lawn.
Yep, absolutely.
So it the can tree work. Was first and the lawn was second probably?
That's what has to happen. And I got a solution for you on that one,
okay.
too, for the next segment.
All right.
All right. And the third way to kill your fruit tree is put them on a drip system. Because fruit trees, really all trees, they need a lot of water all at once. And then they need to get, you know, watered 2 weeks later, or 3 weeks later, 4 weeks later. In fact, watering for trees is once a month in the winter and twice a month in the warm season. And that's all they need if you're giving them a good deep water. And when you're putting a fruit tree or any tree on a drip, you're giving them a gallon of water once a day. And it goes down in this column and it doesn't deep water the tree. And that's a big reason why, you know, when you're driving around town in the summertime and you see trees blown over, more often than not they're on drip and they're not getting deep watered, so it's not taking the roots down deep.
Now, could you just let the drip run longer? Or just it's still not enough?
It's still not enough. You need to flood the basin around the tree.
And how do you accomplish that?
Bubblers, flood irrigation, a hose. Bubblers, if you're on an some kind of irrigation system, bubblers are the way to go.
Okay. Which is something you can adjust the volume to as well.
Exactly.
Now, you would, in a bubbler situation, you would need then a tree well.
Right. That's part of the solution.
Okay.
Yeah, that's part of the solution.
And the tree well, that's an ongoing process. You've got to continually move with the size of your tree.
It is, because it's always best to put the tree well out to the drip line. So the drip line is at the end tips of the tree. So, you know, if you have a 8-foot diameter citrus tree, you can, you know, you put the drip line or the basin out to that 8 feet.
8 feet.
Yeah.
And on that 8 feet, when the tree gets to 8 feet, do I need to move it out then to 16 feet?
Yeah, yeah. Well, I tell people to start at 6-foot diameter.
Okay.
And then, you know, as the tree grows, it's if you want your best production and your most success with your tree, you move the basin out as the tree grows.
And how many trees do you manage at the urban farm that produce
fruit? Somewhere around 80.
And this is always the one that blows my mind. 80 fruit trees, you know, you're picturing a couple acres.
I always love it when people ask me that. How many acres do you have? I have a third of an acre. It's 13,000 square feet. That's 80 feet wide, 160 feet deep. Because mostly what I do is I keep my trees at, you know, about 8 feet tall and about 6 feet wide.
And that way you don't have to ever worry about falling off a ladder while you're busy harvesting your citrus and or your fruit or whatever your production.
Plus, you know, a peach tree can get to 25 feet. So the peach is at the top of a 25-foot fruit tree in most yards is bird food. So why bother?
Yeah. Right? There's plenty of other bird food out there.
Exactly. Don't feed the birds, Mr. Grudgemeyer.
Very good. Well, let's get to our calls. 1-888-767-4348. Laura is on the line.
Hello,
first.
Hello, Laura.
Good morning, gentlemen. I have a ficus that's a real tall, skinny one. I guess you know what I'm talking about.
Oh, yes.
And it's in a very large well, and it was planted in May of last year, and they told me not to fertilize it for a while.
Oh.
Can I start now?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And what should I use?
Well, Hickman's has got a great fertilizer product for trees. Hickman's eggs, they sell a nice fertilizer if you can find that. Absolutely.
The other product of a chicken.
The other product, yes, the other product of a chicken. So, yeah, I usually use a nice organic fertilizer. Bioflora has one or two of them that are nice organic fertilizers, so does Hickman's.
There you go, Laura. We appreciate the call. Thank you for tuning in this Saturday morning. It's a ficus tree. What is your opinion? We've had quite a change over the last 2 years due to a new disease. The opinions of ficus have kind of changed. And
so mostly what I say is if you can't eat it, I don't plant it. And I don't really know a whole lot about it. So I'm, you know, I'm a big fan of taking out all your non-edible trees and adding edible trees. I had about 40 non-edible trees at the urban farm when I moved in 28 years ago, and now I have two.
And those two provide wonderful shade.
Shade, that's right. They're my shade trees around this. You know, one of them is an ash tree that has got a trunk diameter of about 4 feet on it. Yeah, it's a huge tree.
Now, Laura had another question about rosemary, but we'll get to her after the break as we take call, as we clear a line. That's an opportunity to get on the line at 1-888-767-4348. Where would somebody find a fruit tree if they're trying to get started?
Well, you know, a lot of the local nurseries have them. The Urban Farm Pop-Up Nursery is open this weekend and then for 2 weekends in March. I run a fruit tree program where I do education in the fall, and then people can pre-order trees or come and get trees that we have left over. Urbanfarm.org.
And that's, you call that a pop-up nursery?
Yeah.
Because you only pop up for a certain time of the
year?
Yeah,
we're only open 18 to 20 years a day. 20 years, 18 or 20 days a year. It's early yet, and my brain's freezing out in this space.
I know. As soon as that sun gets another 3 inches, it's going to turn into a really beautiful day.
Yeah, exactly. That's what happens when you live in Phoenix for 50 years.
The 40
cold
degrees
is cold.
Feels
right, exactly. Exactly.
Now, how high would you recommend elevation-wise going with citrus?
You mean on the basin?
We've got listeners all the way to Flagstaff this morning.
Oh, right.
How far north would you say? That's about the line where you're going to have a successful harvest.
Yeah, probably up into New River.
That'd be about the limit.
Yeah, or, you know, put them in a greenhouse.
Okay.
You know, you can always put a citrus tree in a greenhouse.
We'll be back. Take your calls right after this.